So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome today to the Feast of St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas, one of the most beloved feasts, one of the most beloved saints in our entire church worldwide. St. Nicholas, patron saint of Russia, patron saint of Greece, patron saint of Sicily. You know what I'd like to do here this morning? I would like to tell you all a little story, okay? You ready for a story? Okay, because the title of my story is How Santa Claus Saved Christmas. Now, this is a true story, because what is Santa Claus but the name St. Nicholas that comes back to us in English when you first filter it through Dutch, right? Exact same name. So once upon a time in the 2nd century in what's now Turkey and what was then just the Roman Empire, was born a little baby boy, and his parents named him Nicholas. Nicholas's parents were very, very rich, but for some mysterious reason, they both died at a terribly young age, leaving Nicholas an orphan and leaving Nicholas with an incredible fortune. Well, Nicholas moved in with his uncle to be raised. Somewhere in the time of living with his uncle, Nicholas had a great conversion on the style of St. Francis of Assisi, in which he realized the emptiness of all worldly things and dedicated himself to spending the rest of his life giving away his great wealth in acts of charity. You might have heard of some of his acts of charity. Maybe you've heard of this one. Nicholas had a neighbor who fell into terrible misfortune where he lost all of his worldly goods and he sank into a deep depression because without any money, he would not be able to provide for any of his 3 daughters. Daughters who were unable to marry a man at the time without a sum of money that was known as a dowry. Very uncertain and very sad future for these poor young ladies. And when Nicholas heard of it, one day, well, he waited for the night to fall. Late in the night, snuck by the man's house. And through an open window that he saw, he tossed into the man's house a bag of gold that happened to land on a shoe that was sitting next to the fireplace, waiting to dry. Next morning, the man saw the bag of gold in the shoe, and he gave thanks to God for his great fortune. At last, it would be the dowry for the wedding of his oldest daughter. And as time went by, Nicholas repeated the same act of charity 2 more times in the same house and in the same way. And I'm not sure that both of those more sacks of gold ever landed in a shoe. However, if you've ever heard the little tradition of leaving your shoes out for St. Nicholas, that's where it came from. And if you didn't have a shoe, you could always hang a stocking by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. But Nicholas's greatest act of charity didn't happen until much, much later. It happened when he was a bishop. Nicholas became bishop of a place called Myra. And in the 4th century in the church was spreading like wildfire a horrible heresy that denied the divinity of Christ. And the heresy was propagated by a priest. His name was Arius, and the heresy took his name. It's known as Arianism. Such a terrible problem in the 4th century in the church that all the bishops of the world gathered together in a great big council, which you might have heard of. It's called the Council of Nicaea, and Nicholas was there. Well, on Nicholas was tremendous pressure on Nicholas and bishops like Nicholas. If they would just compromise a little bit on the doctrine of the faith, we could all have so much peace, and we'd all get along, we'd all go home happy. And this was the compromise they asked him to accept. They said, Nicholas, just if you would, don't insist that Jesus is really God, you know, one in being with the Father. Just say with us, rather, that he's really close to God. In fact, they gave him a word, a Greek word to describe almost being like God, and that word was homoiousios. But Nicholas stood his ground. Nicholas insisted, Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, one in being with the Father. And the word he insisted on was homoiousios. And you know what the difference is between homoiousios and homoiousios? One letter, one letter, the Greek letter iota. Have you ever heard anybody say there's not one iota of difference between the two ideas? Well, this is where it came from, right? Council of Nicaea. And they pressured Nicholas, and they pressured Nicholas. And in a fit of rage, Nicholas lost his cool. And Nicholas punched Arius in the face. Okay, so it sounds like a joke, but once upon a time, Santa Claus decked a guy. Okay? He was sent to prison for doing that. But when Emperor Constantine found out that Nicholas was in prison for his zeal, he had Nicholas pardoned and restored him to the Council of Nicaea. Now, I do not advocate violence as a means of attaining your ends, and I'm certain that Nicholas was sorry for his unbridled zeal. However, the zeal of Nicholas for the truth of the faith turned the tide at the Council of Nicaea, and largely because of him, Nicaea declared that Jesus Christ is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, one in being with the Father. Now consider, what might have happened if Nicholas had not prevailed? If Nicholas had not prevailed, there never would have been a Christmas. Because if the child born in the stable is just another creature and not the Creator, then why make such a fuss about his birth? If the child born to Mary in straw, poverty, and piercing cold is not also the Creator of the stars, then why celebrate Christmas at all? If the child that's born in Bethlehem is not the King of Kings, then why do we make such a fuss every time the 25th of December rolls around? You see, the season of joy, the reason for our hope, the most wonderful time of the year, it all once rested on one iota. And that, boys and girls, is the true story of how Santa Claus saved Christmas. Do you want to know what else it teaches us? Something real important about the faith. It teaches us that our faith is a faith of doctrines, and those doctrines matter. Look at all the beautiful things in our church. Look at images of the Immaculate Conception or stained glass windows of the beauty of Christmas or Jesus in glory coming to judge the heavens and the earth, and realize that we have those beautiful things because someone somewhere stood up for a rock-solid truth and would not give up his ground, just like Nicholas did. We are a religion that proclaims charity above all. Don't get me wrong. Everything's about love. Love of God, love of neighbor. However, without doctrines, that is to say, without truth, we never arrive at charity. John Lennon, who I rarely quote from the pulpit, he once said, "All you need is love." He's wrong, you know. You want to know why he's wrong? Because without truth, you never arrive at love. Love is the destination, but truth is the directions that gets us there. That's why it's a very great act of love to stand up for the truth. That's why any Catholic who loves his neighbor opposes vehemently any deviation from the Catholic faith that compromises or denies that truth. Just a little something to remember when you're living in a culture that tells us that it doesn't matter what you believe. Oh, yes, it does. So, yes, Virginia, there really is a Santa Claus. And once upon a time, Santa Claus saved Christmas by defending the truth. Let's imitate his example and ask for his prayers as we say, "Saint Nicholas, pray for us."